It's our concept and our understanding of it and that what it represents in our life. How many here this morning are thankful for the power of the blood and the power of the cross? The power for the sacrifice that was given. I would not be here today except for the cross of Calvary. I really don't think we would be, not in this arena and not in this way. It truly was the power of the cross that changed our lives, changed our destination, and rewrote the history of our family. The power of the cross, the life-changing encounter of Jesus, when two people made up their mind that they had nothing to lose but everything to gain, and they received Jesus as their personal Savior. A mom with seven kids, I'm not sure, six and one yet to come, 26 years old and six kids, went to church, to a little Nazarene church, and gave her heart to Jesus, having no idea where that road would go or where that journey might take her, but needing something other than what she knew to that point. And it was in his bed one night when the power of the Holy Spirit overshadowed my dad, and the angel of the Lord appeared to him. He said Jesus appeared to him in a dream. I don't know if it was so much a dream or a vision, but he felt the power of the Holy Spirit in his life, and he said, if you'll save me, I'll serve you. It's all he knew to say. It's all he knew to do. If you'll save me, I'll serve you. And that he did, and he made that commitment to God and to his family to do just that, not knowing even what that meant, how he would serve, where that call would take him, or where that one conscious choice would begin a journey that he, I'm sure, had no idea where that journey would go. And so when I stand here today because of that choice, because of the bread, because of the wine, because God delivered our family from a background of heathen, a background of addiction, a background of alcohol. He changed our course, he changed our desires, and he changed our heart. He not only brought change, but he brought an anointing. And so it's because of that, because of Jesus, that we are where we are today. And probably most of you have the same sort of testimony in your life as to why you are here where you are. And so our Christmas has changed, our focus changed, our lives changed. And so for as long as I can remember, on Christmas morning, my dad would get out the Bible, and he would read to us Luke chapter 2, the Christmas story, while we sat around the tree, and at the time, nine of us, and now there's, I don't know, 50 or a lot of us. And we still try to observe that. We still try to sit around the tree. And on every Christmas morning, we read Luke chapter 2. So if you would do me the honor this morning of standing, we're going to read our scripture out of Luke chapter 2 together. And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, every one into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you, ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were going away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem, and see this thing which is come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste, and found Mary and Joseph, and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told unto them. You may be seated. Galatians tells us when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, that he might redeem us from the curse of the law. For the last series of weeks here at Word of Deliverance, we have been talking about Isaiah 9 and 6. For unto you a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders. His name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace. And of his kingdom and peace there shall be no end. And so the last one in our series, we talked about him being the Wonderful, the Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, and this Sunday, the Prince of Peace. How many are you thankful for peace this morning? The peace of God that can rule our hearts, peace that passes all understanding, peace that comes when it seemed like we should be in shambles or should seem like we should be a wreck, and yet there's a peace of mind, a peace of heart, that even when there's not peace around us, there can be peace inside of us. And I'm thankful for that overwhelming peace. I'm thankful that he is the Prince of Peace. He's not only the Prince of Peace, but how many know he's after the Melchizedek order, which is the King of Peace, which is who we serve. He's not just the Prince of Peace in a story. He's not Prince of Peace just in Isaiah, but he's the Prince of Peace in my life. And I'm thankful for that peace that comes. I thought about the story this morning as we were talking about it. And you know, as we talked and sang about the angels, the scripture said that the shepherds were out in the field keeping watch over the flock by night. Now, history tells us that these are not just ordinary sheep, but these are temple sheep. These are the shepherds who raise the lambs, who raise the sheep for the sacrifices that are going to be used in the temple sacrifices. The lamb that would be slaughtered, the lamb that would be slain. And if you go back and look at some of the history, it says that actually the manger probably wasn't the little trough like we think about it, but it probably was actually what was called the Tower of the Flock, or Migdol Eder, which is the Tower of the Flock. And it was a tower that the watchmen, the shepherds, actually watched the hillside and protected the sheep that were to be sacrificed. And that tower was actually called a manger, and it was actually the birthing place of the lambs that were to be sacrificed in the temple. and that they would swaddle those lambs so that when they were born, they wouldn't thrash around or injure themselves. And so they would swaddle them and protect them so that that lamb could be a lamb without blemish, a lamb without spot, a lamb without any kind of issues, so that that lamb could be sacrificed in the temple for the remissions of the sins for the people who would come at the time of sacrifice and receive remission for their sins. Aren't you thankful that the perfect Lamb of God, the Lamb without spot, without wrinkle, the Lamb without blemish, was sent in a manger, wrapped in swaddling clothes, protected and guided and cared for in the hands of shepherds who were keeping watch over the flock. And those shepherds, I'm thankful for shepherds that are hearing from heaven. Aren't you thankful that there is a host of shepherds, there are a host of God's watchmen that are hearing from the heavens. And what they're hearing from the heavens, they're proclaiming in the earth. It says, the angel came unto them and said, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. How many are ready for some joy today? Which shall be to all people, for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. What he's saying to those shepherds is, the Lamb has come. Your reign's about to come to an end. Your duty to the lambs of sacrifice is about to come to the end, because the perfect Lamb of sacrifice has been born. That's how you're going to know where he's at, because he's in the manger. How many know the shepherd would have known what a manger was? And suddenly there was this, with the angels, a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth, what? Peace, goodwill toward men. Aren't you thankful that the declarations from the heaven is peace? He is the Prince of Peace. He is the King of Kings. He is the Lord of Lords. So I'm thankful today that we have peace. How do we get that peace? That peace comes from knowing Jesus. It comes from receiving him into your heart. It comes from knowing what he's done for us, a sacrifice that was made for us. And so that we can know him in a personal relationship, that's the peace that comes. You know, it was the power of the Holy Spirit that overshadowed Mary that birthed something in her. I'm thankful for the power of the Holy Spirit in our life that can overshadow us, that can burst something supernatural in us, and that can bring forth something out of us that she says, how can this be, seeing I know not a man? He said, well, you know what I'm about to do ain't going to have nothing to do with man. It's not going to depend on man. It's not going to depend on the natural. It's not going to be something that you can figure out, something you can make happen, but it's going to be something supernatural. It's going to be something I'm going to do by the Spirit, and when I birth it in you, you're going to know that it's Jesus. I want you to call it Jesus. Don't call it Joseph Jr. Don't call it Zachariah Jr. Call it what I call it. Call it Jesus. Emmanuel, God with us. There's power in our confession, power in our salutation, so much as that when Mary came together with Elizabeth, the scripture says that the sound of her salutation, what she began to declare out of her mouth, because when she didn't understand what God was doing in her, the angel said, and your cousin Elizabeth, she's going to bear a child also. They called her barren, but I'm going to call her fruitful. They might call her disgraced, but I'm going to call her blessed. We're not going to call it what everybody else calls it. We're going to call it what God calls it. And the scripture says that Mary saddled up and she went to the house of Elizabeth. And when she came into the house of Elizabeth, the scripture says, and she saluted her. And when she did, she said, how blessed am I that the mother of my Lord should come to me? Because at the sound of your salutation, my baby leaped in my womb. There was something that came alive inside of me when we made connection. And there's just times sometimes when you don't understand what's going on, you got to connect with somebody who's got something going on inside of them. And when Holy Ghost, his Holy Ghost, let me tell you, that's what we call a Holy Ghost party. He said, because at the sound of the salutation, something came alive inside of me. Could it be that our words are so powerful that when we come together and deep calls to deep, and we begin to salute each other, not in fear, not in condemnation, not in despair, not in destruction, but we start pronouncing the blessings of God on our life. Could it be that our voice and our salutation is so powerful that causes life to happen inside of somebody? If you've never had that life happen inside of you today, I challenge you to receive that life, because it causes something inside of you to come alive. And when it does, there's no changing it. If Elizabeth had any question to this point, if she really was pregnant, because see, they didn't have ultrasounds and they didn't have those early pregnancy tests that you could go to, and they didn't have those signs. And guess what? The scripture says she was old and well stricken in age. She probably didn't even have the monthly sign. All she's got is faith. I mean, sometimes that might be all you have, but if faith is all you have and the Holy Spirit is all you have, it's enough. So you got to connect yourself with somebody who's hearing the same things. And when you do, it causes something to come alive. And once her baby moves inside of her, you can't talk me out of my miracle. Sometimes you got to hold on till somebody can join together with you in faith. You don't need a lot of friends, but you need one good one that'll stand with you through thick or thin, who will stand with you in faith, believing and say, I'm here for you and I'm not leaving. The scripture says, and Mary stayed with her about 3 more months. 6 plus 3 is 9. How long does it take to have a baby? 9. Because Mary said, I'm not leaving until I lay eyes on her promise. And when I lay eyes on her promise, then I know I can walk away from this place. I can face disgrace. I can face whatever's happening back home. If they want to stone me, they can stone me. If he wants to divorce me, he can divorce me. But it's too late. I've already had a connection with the Holy Spirit. And I know what God has begun in me, he will perform. I can't think it was an easy journey to get to Bethlehem at 9 months pregnant. I mean, Toe, it's not an easy journey to get to the hospital sometimes when you're 9 months pregnant. Amen. I can't imagine riding it on a donkey. And all along the journey, she might have questioned, what in the world? Because favor doesn't always look like favor. This is how this is going to go, in a manger, in Bethlehem where there's no room. This is how it's going to go. So you might be approaching this season on a high, hallelujah, everything's awesome. You might be approaching it on a low. Seriously, Lord, this is how this is going to go. But don't get off your donkey. Just ride it out. I mean, sometimes you got to ride it out. You got family issues, so did they. Joseph could have put her away, could have had her stoned. But God spoke to him in a dream. You got travel plans making you crazy? So did they. You got financial troubles? So did they. They were going to be taxed. Everybody knows it's about time for tax season, right? It was all going to be taxed. There's a whole lot of things that can steal your peace, can steal your faith this time of year. And if you focus on them, it'll cause you to be discouraged or cause you to be in despair. I mean, you got to trust that still small voice inside of you. You got to trust the word of God when he said, when she just simply said, be it unto me, Lord, according to your word. Bring forth your promise in my life. Let it be done. Be it unto me according to your word. Not knowing what that statement would do and where that would take her. Worried about your kids? So was she. How do you raise Jesus? And even she left him in the temple when he was 12. That ought to give all you moms hope. Some of you might have wanted to leave him at the temple when they was 12, but how many are thankful that he's faithful to our children? He's faithful to our relationships. He's faithful in our relationship to the Lord. And in every step of the way, don't get off the donkey. Just ride it out. Amen. You might be in a place where your faith is being stretched. You might be in a place where your heart needs encouraged. Ride it out. Just trust Him. Trust Him to do what He said He would do. Trust Him to do the supernatural. Trust Him to do the miraculous in your life in this season. Will you do that for me? Will you just say, God, I give You all my care. I give You my stress. I give You my worry. I give You my concern. I give You my kids. I give You my spouse. I give You my finances. Because You can do exceedingly abundantly above all that I can even ask or think. So today, Lord, I receive Your peace into my life, into my heart, and into my mind. And I refuse to carry out of this place today anything but what the heavens are declaring. Glory to God in the highest and on earth, in this earth, peace and goodwill toward all men. I receive that today. I receive that into my life. I receive that into my mind. Amen. I receive His peace into my heart and into my life and into my mind today. In Jesus' name. He is the Emmanuel God, God with us. Amen. Hallelujah. If you're here today and you don't know Him as your personal Savior, and you would like to encounter Jesus, if you would like to receive Jesus into your heart, our dance team is going to come and get ready to minister to you this morning, and then we're going to have prayer. And if you would like to receive Jesus into your heart, your personal Savior, we invite you to come forward. We'll pray with you and believe with you for the greatest Christmas ever. Amen? In Jesus' name. Dance team, come and minister to us this morning.